Bakuba, Diyala Province's capital, is now completely surrounded. Iraqi, U.S., and coalition forces are now fanning out to provinces across Iraq to either detain or eliminate insurgents. So far, 32 al-Qaeda members have been killed, 62 insurgents have been detained. Nearly a dozen weapons caches have been discovered as troops walk step by careful step, looking out for snipers, bombs, and booby traps along the way. At the Pentagon, Army officials are deciding whether to extend soldiers' tours in Iraq in order to maintain required troop strength. Also under consideration, more use of Army reservists and Navy and Air Force personnel. Militants have blown up three Sunni mosques south of Baghdad. The attacks were seen as revenge for yesterday's truck bombing of a Shiite mosque in Baghdad that killed 87 people. Israel began an offensive to retake the Gaza Strip today with tanks and missiles days after Hamas militants took control of the area. Four Palestinians were killed. Israel today agreed to open its borders to sick and injured Palestinians fleeing the Gaza Strip in the wake of its recent takeover by Hamas. 12 trucks delivering food and medical supplies were allowed in. Ceasefire talks are taking place between the Lebanese army and Fatah al-Islam fighters ensconced in the Nahr al-Islam settlement north of Tripoli. The fighting that began May 20th has claimed 163 lives, many of those civilians. Satanic Verses author Salman Rushdie's recent knighthood has enraged Muslims around the world. Britain's foreign secretary said Rushdie was awarded the title for his literary achievements. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto said a suicide attack against Rushdie is justified. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg filed papers yesterday dropping his Republican Party affiliation and registering as an independent. The move is thought to be strategic to make a run for the White House in 2008. Two private security guards subcontracted to Walter Reed Army Medical Center got in an argument this morning and words escalated and one guard shot the other 10 times, but he missed. The other guard ran to a nearby house and called 911. His co-worker is now in jail. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business next.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing my car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa, I'm not polluting. I'm just washing my car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
And pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
If skies are clear where you are tonight, you might see both the Atlantis Space Shuttle and the International Space Station seeming to chase one another through the evening sky. The two largest man-made orbiting objects are on a northwest-to-southeast path, and the Space Shuttle lands at Cape Canaveral tomorrow. China is now the world's biggest producer of carbon dioxide emissions. A huge appetite for coal and an increase in cement production caused China's CO2 output to rise by 8% last year. An independent Dutch agency conducted the study that shows China burning coal for 2/3 of its energy needs. The head of China's regulatory agency promises to increase the safety of his country's exports. That after several products, including pet food, toothpaste, and children's toys were recalled for being toxic. The housing slump is near an end. That's according to Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, who spoke to a group of reporters today. He also echoed Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke's June 5th comments that there would be no spillover effect into other sectors of the economy. Wall Street didn't look too rosy today, however, as there was a big sell-off on news of bond yields going up. At the close, the Dow was down 146 points, the S&P 500 was down 21, and the NASDAQ was off 27. Oil is at $68.19 a barrel right now. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Don't Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Verse 2, Chapter 2, Page 2, and Book 2 of Strictly Confidential. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, and those lovely transgendered, it's our conversation radio. Wow, what a night Monday was. I was just overwhelmed by the wonderful emails and phone calls from you guys. It was just a joy to know that you enjoyed the program as much as I did. You really, really made my day. There just hasn't been that much excitement around here since the neighbor's hog Beulah got out. The show ended at 11 o'clock. I was wound up tighter than a $2 watch. There were phone calls from folks out that had to get in touch with me, and I was just stunned by it all, and thank you all. I finally lay down around 12:30, but there's no way I could sleep. I ended up going to bed around 3, answering various emails and chatting with you guys. It was very kind of you to do that. Some of the emails, the general view is that they love the show, but a lot of them said in all caps, "More music!" Well, I aim to please, and I'm borrowing John Fox's Track of the Day segment. Well, actually, I'm outrunning. I told him he was, and he was pleased. He said, "That's great, go for it." We're going to call it Dance of the Night. So tonight we're going to ask the gay bar across the street to leave the front door open long enough for us to dance to a full, genuine, 100% gay bar rated track. And if there's time, we may even do a last dance tonight in the second segment. And last night, I am so sorry that I missed last night. There was a storm here that made me want to build an ark. I tell you what, the rain just started pouring down. I had the headphones on at the time. I was kind of getting ready for the show. And I didn't really realize that it had started storming, and all of a sudden my interconnection kept falling in and out, and I wasn't able to go on air. I called Bob, and we had to cancel. I was very disappointed, and one of the reasons why is the interview that was scheduled last night, and by the way, it's been rescheduled, is with Reverend Nancy Wilson. She's the moderator of Metropolitan Community Church, and as I said last night, she is as high up as you can go in MCC unless your name is Jesus. MCC is a wonderful organization. I'm so pleased to talk with her. A number of things we have in common. I was very involved with MCC, those of you who know my long story, you know it wasn't exactly I didn't live the life of a nun, and you know I've seen the other side of a jail cell a couple of times. I'll tell you about that one day. Anyway, MCC is a prison outreach. You know the rap songs that go, you know, nobody's as happy as a faggot in jail. Well, that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It's miserable. Nobody wants to be your friend because they get identified as being gay too. There's a lot of persecution. So the fact that they're reaching out to gay folks in jail is just remarkable. And anyway, in any case, we'll talk about Nancy later, and I'm just pleased to have her. That was the other thing. I caught part of my replay today, and I was horribly annoyed at how many times I said, gotta stop saying that's just not going to cut it. We do have a guest today. His name is Stratton Politzer. He will be joining us at 9:30, and I'm very pleased to have him. There is a lot going on in Florida right now in the gay and lesbian community. Attacks on gays and lesbians have gone up 33%. They're trying to get protections for us in schools like gay-straight alliances. Also, there is a anti-gay marriage bill that's in the legislature that they're working very hard to counteract, and it's very important because Florida is a major state along those lines. I'm going to let him tell you all about it when he joins us. And by the way, as we go into the conversation with him, we will be taking phone calls so you can speak with him. He is a See, where's my note here? Well-educated man, I believe he... where's my note? Oh, I have so many pieces of paper. I'll let him tell you. Just trust me. The man went to a good school. And he's happily married, I might add. He's been with his partner for 12 years. And there's lots to tell. He's a great guy. So, oh yeah, before I go too far into the segment, I have to point out that, you know, Bob, I've been listening to you a long time, and I guess I've begun to think like you. Because one of the stories I chose to do this evening was the Vatican issues, the driving, the Sermon on the Mount of driving. And it's interesting, Bob and I choose the same article, but we see them differently. Bob really, you know, he's amazing. He could really present the outrage. Me, I just thought, I just took it. Here, let me give you an example. They recommend you do the rosary in the car. It says the rosary is particularly well-suited to recitation by all in the car because its rhythm is gentle and it does not distract the driver's attention. Not distract the driver's attention. Excuse me, I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, and I've got to tell you, if I'm hauling around a bunch of liberals and they start chanting the rosary, I'm leaving the road. The other thing about this article that I thought was very interesting was he noted that the Bible was full of people on the move, including Mary and Joseph and the parents of Jesus, and that they were itinerant people. Well, it just seems to me that those people rode donkeys back then. And if I came across one of them on the freeway, I would just roll the window down and say, "Get your ass off the freeway!" Good Lord. Then he's going on into drivers use their cars to show off. Well, what do you think the Pope Mobile is, for crying out loud? You've got to be kidding me. Oh, my. Falling asleep at the wheel, charity to drivers. Oh, yeah, he said some people use their cars to show off. Yeah, he did. And so I thought, well, I'll just change that. I'll roll down the window and scream, "Get your fancy ass off the freeway!" God, I love that story. You know, the church never ceases to amaze me as they become increasingly irrelevant. Now, mind you, I go to church every Sunday. I like to say, I am no Christian. They've really ruined that. I love Jesus, but I'm no Christian. But, you know, they're becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. And, let's see. Oh, I wanted to touch upon this. Oh, yeah, this is a story about Jamaica's homophobia. Well, Jamaica has had a huge increase in attacks against gay folks in the Caribbean this year. And, in fact, over the last several years. And what they're saying is it's a tradition. Excuse me. It's a tradition. A tradition of beating dogs or putting kitty cats in the microwave. Whose tradition? Well, there's a fellow down there. He's a minister, John Hardy, and he's trying to say that, in fact, he's correct in this. He's saying that homophobia is the colonial legacy down there. But the way he has this figured, at least in my mind, is absolutely backwards. You see, 170-odd years ago, blacks in Jamaica were freed from slavery. But, you know, before that, Jamaicans were regularly... Well, if there was any sign that one of the men was beginning to risk to rise up against being a slave... they were sodomized. I can't put it any more clearly than that. That's what the masters would do to the slaves. They would, and so homophobia and anti-gay feelings became pretty strong along those lines. But the other side of the fence is, though, and according to the headline of the article, and I tend to agree with this, is that it's Britain that's doing this. You know, despite freeing themselves from Britain, a number of former colonies continue to endorse what's called Section 377, and it's Jamaica's anti-gay culture, and it's born from the very law that, you know, these demented slave masters, you know, sort of acts from. And, you know, I understand that, you know, homophobia was a bit, but that was 400 or 500 years ago. I really think it's much more recent that Britain's influence came to bear on that. Let's see. I think what we'll do is... Let's go ahead and go to break. It's 9:14. We'll run a short break, and then I have one more before the break. This fresh in from the Christian right. It would appear that the homosexual army has discovered a new tactic. Guerrilla sodomy! Touch my monkey. Well, it's their new tactic, and it's instant war on God and morality. And gays are taking their cues from the terrorists in Iraq. And, oh, by the way, they refer to it as the newly democratic Iraq, where gay folks are shot in the head and women now can't go to school. And they're saying that we face this threat, at home in the form of, get this, homo insurgents. So I may just change the name of the show from Strictly Confidential to Homo Insurgents. Da, 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 da. Oh, the God, the world just amazes me. Let's do a quick break, and I'll be back with some, maybe the track of the day.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is Billy Shears. This coming Tuesday, June 26th, the Head On Radio Network will go dark. I believe this is the right thing to do, and the Horn feels very strongly that an attack on one segment of Internet radio constitutes an attack on all Internet radio. On the day of the stand down, Head On will keep the chat room open, so pop in to show your support. Try to imagine conversation radio without music. I know I can't.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
And we're back. I came across something interesting today. It's, you know, they keep talking about the homosexual agenda. I wish they would explain it to me, but I found a little clip here that pretty much explains it. If it were a movie trailer for the homosexual agenda as presented by the right, they worked at their jobs. They shopped for groceries. They even went to the movies. They lived the homosexual lifestyle. See them do their laundry. Hear them order takeout. Feel your spine tingle as they watch TV, e.g., please get over it. I'd love that. Ah, and a little Fred Phelps segment. We all know Fred Phelps. God hates faggots. And their literalist interpretation of the Bible, and this is so well done, I love it. It starts with a couple of Bible verses. Now, in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you henceforward forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon has this fig tree withered?" The lesson? Jesus rebuked the fig as an evil abomination. The second verse. The next day when they came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, "No man eat fruit of you hereafter and forever." The disciples heard it. The lesson? Jesus commanded us not to eat the cursed fig. And he destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees, their sycamore figs with sleet. That's from Psalms. The lesson, eat a fig, go to hell. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword of famine and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. The object? God promises terrible vengeance for fig eaters. The complete lesson is, God hates figs! Sorry. I just couldn't resist that. It's time to open up the dance floor. You know, we were talking the other night with Cassie. I really enjoyed talking with her. She was asking about the use of this phrase, "Oh, that's so gay." And we were trying to figure that out in the sense. And, you know, obviously it's kind of a slander because, you know, "it's so gay" is never used for anything great. It's always something bad. It's so gay. Well, what kills me is these kids saying that wouldn't know gay if it bit them on the butt. Honey, let me tell you what gay is. If I had a nickel for every time I ran into your daddy in a gay bar chatting me up, wanting to cheat on your mommy, I'd be a rich man. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't know gay if it bit them on the butt. Today's track of the day is... Oh, I'm sorry, John, I stole it outright. It is the dance of the night. is Datura. And that's the people who are doing the mixing and the music. And they are singing this as... Your Love in Arms, and the person who did Love in Arms was Billy Ray Martin. She gave us Your Love in Arms. And in any case, they've done backtracks and mixing for Freddie Mercury, and their name of their group is taken from a magical hallucinogenic plant that grows in the North Hills of Mexico. So for you folks who say, "That's so gay," I'm giving you something, honey. This is gay. Hit it, Agnes. Billy Ray Martin singing. She's just wonderful. Just wonderful. I want to touch on this article regarding health insurance. And this is so typical of the bait and switch activities that the right pulls on us. You know, they really believe that a lie told often enough is the truth. And it's being employed by the religious extremists and to make it impossible for same-sex couples to take care of themselves and their children. And the way this lie is working today, you have to remind yourself of the history. And this is from Detroit. In Detroit, they were the proponents of Proposal 2. And what it did is it banned equal marriage rights for same-sex couples in the state. But again and again, and this is the lie that they repeated often enough to become the truth, again and again, they indicated that it had absolutely nothing to do with employment benefits like health insurance. The proposal was only about merit, and they said it over and over and over. But immediately, and I mean immediately upon the passage of Proposal 2, these opponents, these right-wingers, they turned around and went after domestic partner benefits. And it was a lie. The second, it just couldn't have been more ludicrous. The extremists were led by, the American Family Association, and now they're turning around and claiming that health insurance and other benefits are actually benefits of marriage. So, of course, the employers are trying to save a buck, and they're going along with that. The American Family Association isn't doing anything to extend health to families. They're just taking away from folks. A lot of these families have children, and the courts are standing behind them. Michigan State Court, ruled that it's just fine that you can take away those health benefits because, in fact, they are gay marriage benefits. So as of July, the city of Kalamazoo has announced it's going to pull benefits as of this coming July, and the public school officials have said they won't offer benefits the next rounds of talk. It's hard to believe, really. You know, you wonder, you know, why gay folks are so, well, obviously it's our civil right, so about getting married. But let me explain something to you. With the stroke of two signatures on a marriage license, you've just solved well over 1,000 legal problems. Rather than going through a myriad of attorneys, draining your financial resources to try to protect yourself so that your partner can inherit, just let us get married. It's nothing new. You know, the whole paradigm, you know, marriage has changed. They're acting like there's a sudden challenge on marriage. This absolutely isn't true. That marriage has changed over the centuries. You know, back in the days when, you know, you had like the landowners and you had the working class, like, you know, the fishermen and, you know, the people who raised hogs and wheat. Well, you know, the landowners would marry only families that had more lands because it was a, you know, a combination of the house. The people who were working class, you know, like a fisherman would find a fishwife. Otherwise, it was about security, financial security. And as time goes along, and now that we are, you know, able to support ourselves more easily, well, less and less so now that the Christian right has taken over, you know, people are getting married for love. And so now, you know, less so than financial security. So what they're doing is they're pretending this first time there's ever been any sort of radical paradigm shift in marriage. It's just not true. It's an absolute lie. And, you know, it's hard to believe. Our guest is going to be joining us here shortly. We have him, and again, his name is Stratton. Oh, Lord, I lost his last name. Please pardon me. So many papers so all the time. Yes, his name is Stratton Pulitzer. He is the Deputy Director of Equality Florida. And as I say, we're going to be talking for a while about Equality Florida and what they're doing, and then we'll be taking your calls. So welcome to the program, Stratton.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great.
Welcome.
Excited to be here.
Wonderful. I'm excited to have you here. You're actually the first outside guest that we've had. Last night got canceled because of the electrical outage, and the first night we had one of our Head On Radio Network show hosts who was coming out formally on the air. Most of his listeners, you know, were not aware that he was gay, which was fun. But you are going to be always going to be the first outside guest we've had. Hope that you quickly become an inside guest. I'm so thrilled to have you here with us.
Well, thanks. What an honor. I had no idea that I would be the first. That's very exciting.
Yeah. You know, we're originally talking to another person down there, and I after reading through some of your accomplishments, you were one of the founders there. I think we probably got the right guy on the phone as opposed to the other guests. Don't you agree?
Well, Nadine Smith, my boss, is a superstar. She is, you know, one of the true visionaries in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender civil rights movement, but I have gotten to work with her for more than 10 years now, We founded Equality Florida back in 1997 in the aftermath of Florida passing a statewide Defense of Marriage Act. And back then, and this, of course, was a state law, not a constitutional amendment like you've been talking about, which we're going to be facing in Florida. But back then, in the late 90s, it's hard to believe it was so recently, but there was no statewide LGBT organization in Florida or in most states around the country. We, for a long time as a movement, we did not focus our resources on state legislatures. While at the same time, the far right has really marshaled their supporters to pay attention to what's happening in state government, because state government is obviously so important to the basic rights that all families and LGBT families count on, like marriage and domestic partnership and anti-discrimination laws and adoption rights and all of those things.
So, this is true. I remember a while back, there was an organization, I think, in Jacksonville that actually published online the names of people who had signed the bill or petition to bring that to a vote. And I was horrified to discover a couple of people in my neighborhood that had signed the anti-gay marriage petition. It's all a build up of build up a straw man. You know, they're after your children, they're after your dogs, they're after your pets. You know, what can I tell you?
Right. Well, I think, I know the organization you're talking about, and of course, Florida is very likely facing an amendment in 2008 that would ban marriage and civil unions for same-sex couples, and you're absolutely right that regardless of what the far right says, it is definitely their intention to use this amendment, should it pass, to strip away all of the existing domestic partnerships that gay and lesbian families and many other people rely on every single day. You know, seniors rely on domestic partner benefits. Often they cannot remarry because of the tax implications or losing Social Security benefits. Firefighters, police officers, teachers, college professors. The reality is that roughly 75% of the people who enter into domestic partnerships are not gay, but are straight couples who, for whatever reason, can't marry right now or choose not to, and those are the folks to be impacted by that. But you're also right that what the far right is doing to put this amendment on the ballot is they are out trying to collect 611,000 signatures of people who, you know, sign a petition for them so that this can qualify for the ballot. And there is an organization in Jacksonville called Know Thy Neighbor that publishes the list of everyone who has signed the petition. And it is a good thing to go and take a look at that list for two reasons. One is because if your neighbors have signed it, then maybe rather than just being angry, it gives us an opportunity to start a conversation with them. Maybe they got asked to sign it in their church and don't realize how it will hurt so many families. But the other reason is that, you know, unfortunately we know that there's a tremendous amount of fraud in these kinds of campaigns, and lots of people who have been contacted by friends to say, you know, why did you sign this? Say, I never signed that. And so by checking in with folks, it does give us an opportunity to see if, you know, really a large number of these petitions are fraudulently recorded.
Yes, I one of the signatures actually I was surprised to see was the signature of my cousin's wife. Now, she's not particularly a fundamentalist, but what she does is she takes her kids to a Baptist daycare when she goes to work, and it's just because, you know, they're you know, known to be reliable and the kids are safe, this sort of thing. But I believe the way that went down was pressure that, you know, subtle pressure that if your kid is going to be here, you really ought to consider signing this and agreeing. I think people get pressured into it through situations like that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a high peer pressure situation, just like it is in church when they pass around one of these petitions. And then the other piece is that, of course, they never talk about the families who it's going to harm. They, you know, they cynically describe these as marriage protection amendments, and in their literature talk about how this is really just about, you know, protecting a sacred institution, when, you know, the reality is this is about blatant discrimination in our Constitution. It's about taking away rights that people rely on every single day. It's about seniors losing their medical insurance. you know. And it's about making sure that families, that any family outside of the context of a heterosexual marriage, that all other families have no recognition or support. And what we know is that the vast majority of families in this country do not fit that single archetype. You know, that we have single moms raising children, that we have extended family members, you know, grandparents helping to raise children, that we have gay and lesbian families, that we have children caring for aging parents. And our values at Equality Florida are that however you define your family, we want you to have the tools and the support necessary to take care of your family. You know, our government should be in the business of helping people to care for each other, not tearing down families that don't look the way that this one conservative religious extremist position dictates.
Yes. You people have just amazes me, the progress. You know, at 54 years old, I have to tell you that, you know, when I was growing up, I was a member of the, at the time there was the Gay Liberation Front, and that was along about the time that, let's see if I'm still connected here.
Welcome.
Yeah, it looks like I am. You know, I remember marching in the Equal Rights Amendment, and we were marching to the steps of the Florida Capitol singing, "If Jesus Woman, Would She Been Her Saviorette?" I'm just so proud of you guys, and I really want you to feel free to always use this program to make any sorts of statements that you want regarding what's going on in Florida. And I know that you're a speaker, and you publicly speak for the Florida Equality Group. And I want to tell you that you're welcome to stay with us as long as you like during this hour. Or actually, we have a 2-hour program here. I think about an hour and a half left. And as long as you feel comfortable, and we're going to be taking callers soon. Can you tell us a little bit? You know, we've just recently had a Matthew Shepard incident in Florida. It's our own little Matthew Shepard. Well, it's not little. The man was viciously murdered. But you know, a lot of times these things never leave the general area. I would think that probably a lot of people outside Florida have no idea. In fact, I posted the man's picture at strictlyconfidentialradio.com if you'd like to see it. And I was hoping that you might spend some time telling us about how that situation happened.
Sure. Well, you know, what we know, I mean, these things are all related. We know that the high-profile anti-gay campaigns that the far right has been waging have led to a level of mean-spirited rhetoric that dehumanizes people, and that when that kind of a conversation is happening in public, that's when you see increases in violence. That's when you see people being attacked more and more. And in Florida, for 5 out of the last 6 years, we have seen double-digit increases in the number of hate crimes targeting lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. All of this while hate crimes targeting all other groups have fallen. And probably the worst thing about this is that there has been just silence from our state government, from our elected officials. You know, when you see this kind of a huge surge in hate violence targeting one community, what we need is a public education about it to stem the violence. We need people speaking out in the same way that following the 9/11 attack, there were lots of people, including the President of the United States, talking about how we should not seek retribution against people who were Muslim or perceived to be Muslim. We need that kind of a public education campaign here. Sadly, Ryan Skipper, who you described a minute ago, his murder is a horrendous tragedy that happened in Florida just this past March. Ryan is a young man who grew up in Bartow, Florida. It's kind of in the center of our state in a small community. And he was someone who was working hard to get an education. He was putting himself through school. And Ryan was brutally murdered by two young men, I believe they were 19 and 20 years old, who stabbed him dozens of times dumped his body on the side of the road and then drove around in his car, drove around town in his car, which they stole, that was covered in blood, and bragged to their friends about having killed him.
Yes, they did. And my understanding is they were using the old he made a move on me gay panic bit, but nothing backs that up. Not his behavior, not his stature as a man, not his friends, not his family. That would have been entirely out of character. Plus, there's something about a stolen laptop that doesn't exist. How did all that work?
Well, I mean, the initial report, I mean, the murder itself is a terrible tragedy. What happened next is why we have work to do. Because what happened next was, first of all, that the sheriff's office began speaking to the newspaper, and they were using as kind of their talking points on the case the testimony of the defendant without having talked to anyone else. And so you're right that they described the murder initially as potentially, you know, an attack motivated because the defendants claimed that Ryan had made a pass at one of them, which isn't, you know, the idea that that would ever justify a brutal homicide itself, you know, a very thick and tortured piece of logic. But the fact is that it appears that that was absolutely not the case. So the sheriff's office did wind up recanting that and apologizing to Ryan's family. Probably more troubling, though, was the fact that here we have this horrible murder, and right here in our state, every bit a Matthew Shepard story right here in Florida, and it got almost no publicity at all outside of his immediate area, not even across the state. You know, certainly we didn't see politicians stepping forward condemning this violence, condemning the kind of bigotry that leads to that violence. I mean, it's significant that Ryan's murderers felt as though they could drive around town and brag about this. You know, that they grew up in...
It is significant. You know, very significant. And I would have never known about it either. It was not covered here in Tallahassee, and I'm just a little bit north of you. The only reason I know about it was a mailer went out from Florida Equality, an email letter, rather.
Yeah, I mean, what we did in this situation is we reached out to Ryan's family, because the first question is, will they be up for the kind of publicity that this can bring? You want to be sensitive to them. And they are wonderful people who I think really found, you know, a way to begin their healing process by taking action. And working with them, we called for statewide vigils all across Florida. And 30 days after Ryan's murder, we held 14 simultaneous vigils attended by 1,000 people in 14 cities across Florida and in Washington, D.C. And we were able to get publicity for the event as a result of that. And, you know, people came together. We held a moment of silence in all of those cities at the same time across Florida. And we did, I mean, at that point, his story did receive a degree of attention. You know, this all happened in the context of the United States Congress considering expanding the Federal Hate Crimes Prevention Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. So, you know, I mean, the story itself is not only did we have this tragedy, but it was happening in a, you know, an incredibly important political context. And the fact that those two things together still weren't enough. It took 1,000 people, you know, coming together for vigils before the media really began to pay attention to it. I think the good news here is that Florida Governor Charlie Crist, I believe, is with our community on this issue of hate violence. You know, he is the former attorney general. He saw the hate crime statistics rise under his watch. While I certainly wish he had spoken out more about it, he did acknowledge that it was a troubling trend, and in preliminary conversations with senior staff in his office, it sounds as though this is a topic, at least one area, that he is willing to be an advocate against this kind of hate violence. So, you know, we're hopeful. We will, you know, we are, we have social justice and progressive roots that go as deep as any, but we're also committed to working with anyone who will, you know, be a part of advancing equality and reducing hate violence. So we're hopeful that we'll make some strides with Charlie along the way. We will certainly push him every opportunity that we have.
Well, he's a complete enigma to me. He came as a great shock as a Republican guy who's talking about issues like gay marriage and hate crimes, and he's an ally. How did this happen? This is totally unexpected.
Well, you know, like you, I'm a little mystified at times. It's a little hard to know exactly where he stands. I certainly, you know, the coalition that is working statewide to defeat this marriage amendment, and make no mistake, this will be the biggest fight that the GLBT community has ever faced in Florida. This is our moment to bring every resource that we have ever assembled to beat this amendment. So much depends on it. And it was it was a very heartening sign when Charlie Crist said to reporters in Tallahassee, as folks may not know, that the Republican Party has been the largest financial supporter of the Florida For Marriage campaign that is trying to pass this bigoted amendment. They gave $300,000 to Florida For Marriage, the Republican Party did, to assist them in their signature gathering efforts. And the governor, in speaking to reporters this last session, said that he believes that the Republican Party should not be funding this constitutional amendment and that he thought there were more important priorities in Florida. Now, he also signed the petition. So, you know, he did that about 6 months previously. So he kind of moved one direction and then quickly takes a step back the other. But at least most recently, he seems to be posturing away from this constitutional amendment. And I do think that he and many other moderates within the Republican Party don't want this kind of an ugly, mean-spirited, bigoted campaign here in our state and would prefer to see it just go away. Sadly, I don't think there's any chance of that. They are far too close to reaching the signature goal. The campaign claims to be only about 25,000 votes away. And once you're that close and people have, you know, put the kind of time and energy into it, the true believers in the extreme quadrant of the far right are going to make sure this thing gets onto the ballot. They're not going to let go of it. And they are quite close. But it becomes a beautiful moment for progressives, not just the gay community, but for our social justice movement in Florida to stand together. Because, as you were pointing out, these amendments are very far-reaching, and they do impact many different communities. And so the campaign that we have been working to build is a statewide coalition that now includes 110 organizations. And the NAACP just recently unanimously voted to endorse the campaign to defeat this amendment, and the statewide NAACP president joined the board, and Planned Parenthood is part of the board, and Florida Alliance for Retired Americans are a part of the board, and these are our natural allies. You know, we should be standing together year after year, and so this is a moment where we really get that opportunity.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put out the toll-free line for callers. We're open to having folks call in and talk with our guest this evening, Stratton Politzer from Florida Equality. There's a lot to be said, and you can reach us at the toll-free at 1-877, the number 4, head on. That's HEADON. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. And if you happen to have a free long-distance calling plan, you are encouraged to use our regular line, save us a nickel, and that's 1-304-658-5453. That's in West Virginia. 1-304-658-5453, or the toll-free line at 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm sure we haven't exhausted talking about this, but there's something else I want to know about. What happened to Nadine? I understand she was just handing a pamphlet out to someone who requested it, and she was pretty much hauled off to jail rather roughly. And the ACLU was involved. Happened recently, did it not?
Yes. The incident you're talking about, well, to kind of set the stage, this occurred in Largo, Florida, which is not Key Largo, but Largo, which is in Pinellas County. It's a suburb of St. Petersburg, Florida. And Largo, the city of Largo, the city manager, Steve Stanton, it was made public that he was planning to transition from male to female. And upon learning this, the Largo City Commission immediately began proceeding to fire him in what was, you know, just obviously a clear example of workplace discrimination, unfortunately legal workplace discrimination here in our state. Many people don't realize that it is perfectly legal to fire gay and lesbian people and transgender people in most of the country and in most of our state. There are city ordinances in some places that protect us, but not everywhere and not in Largo. And so they begin proceeding to fire Steve Stanton. And they have to do this publicly, so there was a public hearing. And right-wing churches basically bust in a mob of about 500 people to come and testify and read the Bible and talk and really call for Steve's head. I mean, it was the ugliest kind of mob mentality you can imagine in the room at the city commission meeting that night. Of course, we were there. Nadine Smith was there. We had, at that first meeting, a much smaller group of people, probably 50 of our friends there to support Steve. And Nadine was one of the speakers who went to the microphone and testified about why the commission should do this. And it's important to know that Steve had a sterling record, had just received, you know, a very strong employment evaluation and a raise, and, you know, was considered a really strong manager. And when Nadine was speaking, she had a little pink sign in her hand that said simply, "Don't discriminate." Just a little, I mean, it was basically a, you know, piece of 8.5 by 11 paper she printed out off of her computer. And when she left the podium, I'm almost certain you can see her testimony on our website at www.eqfl.org. And when she was leaving the podium, E is in equal, just, U is in quality, F is in Florida, L.org is our website. But
yes, I was going to say to you that we've posted that in the chat room, and it'll also be remain posted at Strictly Confidential Radio's website. So if you happen to forget that, most of our listeners know strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Please check the link there. It's on the front page.
Wonderful. Well, so as Nadine was... as she was leaving the podium and stepping out of the commission chambers into the hall, another Steve Stanton supporter came up and said, and said to tell her he really appreciated her comments and hugged her, and then asked her if he could have the little sign. And she said sure, and she handed it to him. And at that point, a police officer ran up to her and told her that she could not hand out literature. And, you know, Nadine, I'm talking to her, I know it's described as really, an officer clearly who was, you know, moved by the kind of, you have to imagine the angry, almost violent energy that is in the room. The only thing missing is the pitchfork in a scene like this. It is a lynching mentality. If anybody who's ever been to one of these charged hearings understand that it is the things that are said about Steve Stanton, you know, the absolute demonization of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people in those spaces, and that this officer clearly shared some of those prejudices. And when he came up, he basically demanded that Nadine take back the flyer, and she said, "Why?" And he said, "I said take it back." And she said, I understand. I'm just asking, you know, what is the reason?" He asked me for the flyer, at which point the officer grabbed her and began dragging her towards the door and said, all right, that's it, I'm throwing you out. And Sherry said, you're out of here. And anyone who's done social justice organizing or nonviolent work knows that in a scene like this, if you are being arrested, it is critical that you let other people know it's happening, because if you get taken into custody and no one sees it happen, you're not necessarily safe. And so Nadine said out loud, I want everyone to know I'm being arrested. At which point the officer became enraged, pushed her through two double doors out away from the rest of the crowd, and four police officers, four men threw Nadine on the floor and jumped on her back and pinned her down.
I'd like to point out that Nadine is also a woman of color, and that doesn't help in the South, does it?
Yeah, I mean, for folks who live in, South Florida, or for folks who know Florida as, Key West and Disney World, this really is the Deep South. It really, our state is very, we have a Southern culture here for sure. So Nadine was arrested. She was briefly in custody. It was an outrageous, outrageous arrest. She was charged with disturbing an assembly and resisting arrest with violence. These were, clearly ridiculous, trumped-up charges. The ACLU, that we work closely with on many different issues, did represent Nadine. The good news is, what happens all too often in these scenarios is the person who is arrested is just intimidated into silence because you're facing serious charges, as trumped up as they may be. And that is the strategy, is to try to intimidate you into silence and to keep you from speaking out. But Nadine's arrest really sent shockwaves through the civil rights movement, and leaders of organizations all over the country, national groups, spoke out. And there was actually a website launched called justiceinlargo.com where individuals and organizations sent letters supporting Nadine and demanding that charges be dropped. And, Nadine is a peaceful person in demeanor. Anyone ever worked with her knows that she is, a fine example of a nonviolent social justice activist. And so to suggest that she's resisted arrest with violence is just crazy. And the good news is
go ahead.
Just to say that in the end, the state attorney's office, realizing that they were in a complete loser situation, did drop the charges, and the city commission eventually apologized to Nadine for the arrest. So, it has a terrible impact on others' willingness to stand up and speak out and, talk about injustice.
Yes, it does. Stratton, and I must say, we're at the top of the hour now, and we're going to take a top of the hour break. Would you stay with us after the break and maybe take some phone calls if we have some callers?
That would be great. I would love to. I have a 10:15 deadline tonight, but I can do another 15 minutes. So if folks have questions, I hope they'll join us during the next 15 minutes.
I hope they will, too. We'll run the short break, and we'll be right back, and I'll announce the phone numbers. Thank you, Stratton.
This is the Head On Radio Network. Cry to me.
account. The New York Times will raise its daily price from $1 to $1.25 in mid-July. The home delivery rates will also go up. The company's chief executive expects the price boost will bring in between $7 to $8 million this year and $14 to $16 million a year afterwards. Light sweet crude is trading at $68.19 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 146 points at 13,489. The NASDAQ was down 27. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential. Your fearless leader and a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Peter Godbold.
Thank you, Agnes. That's a genius promo. I just love that. Thank you to my friend Daryl who sent in that track. I just think that's fabulous. I want to point out that the toll-free lines are open. We can be reached at 1-844-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Or if you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, we can be reached at 1-304-658-5453. Our guest is Stratton Politzer, who's the Deputy Director of Equality Florida, and we've been talking about issues that are going on in the gay community down here, from everything from outright murder to false arrest to what's going on with the churches who are basically telling lies to get signatures to prevent gay marriage. It's really an incredibly ugly situation. Stratton, I'm curious about something, and that is, did the police officer face any sanctions after he did that to Nadine?
No, he didn't. He didn't. And, and that is disappointing. I know there's kind of a circle the wagons mentality when an officer, you know, that happens in a police unit many times. I will say, I do think it's important to note that the chief of police in the city of Largo actually was a Steve Pants supporter and stood by him. And throughout the other piece, of course, the most important part of the story is that, you know, the Largo City Commission did, at their first hearing, vote to terminate Steve. There was a second hearing in Largo. And I know when we went to the break, we were talking about how people sometimes, when they see this kind of hostility directed at activists and people who speak out, then they become afraid. But in Largo, the opposite happened. And at the second city commission hearing, we had 500 people there. And 200 of them were wearing pink T-shirts that said, "Don't discriminate, stand in solidarity with Nadine." And there was beautiful testimony in support of Steve, and the Largo Commission, unfortunately, ignored it and fired him anyway. But it did become an international news story, and I think did go a long way to educating folks about why these laws that ban discrimination are not just luxuries. They're very, you know, they are, this is the reality that so many people face. And, you know, we're hopeful that this can actually be a rallying call to people across Florida and really to our federal government that is right now considering a nationwide Employment Non-Discrimination Act that would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity and expression in the workplace. But, yes, you know, that seems so common sense. A tremendous majority of Americans believe, it's like in the, I believe over 80% of Americans believe that it should not be legal to fire someone simply for being gay. And yet, here in 2007, it still is in most places.
Well, what can I do as a host to help? What can we do nationally to help? Is there a way to donate money at your site? For instance, a PayPal link. What can we do in terms of, do you have, for instance, the emails where you can fill out the form and send to, you know, the like your legislators, your senators, and what have you?
Sure. Well, you know that I love that question because this is a, you know, a civil rights movement. It's not a, this is a participation movement. This is a, you know, we need hundreds of thousands of people in Florida and millions of people across the country working together on this. And there are lots of things folks can do. Certainly, you know, funding is important, and there you can make a contribution, become a member of Equality Florida on our website. We will invest your dollars wisely. If you sign up for our action alert, then any time something like what happened in Largo or what happened to Ryan Skipper or, you know, a bill that is moving in Tallahassee that we need to pass, anytime something like that is going on, you'll receive an action alert that makes it very easy for you to take action and contact your representative or, you know, send an email and just to be conscious and in the loop. So that's very important. I think it's also, you know, if you are a LGBT person, and even if you're an ally, being out about your support for the gay and lesbian community, being willing to share who you are as a gay person with the world, is, I think, probably the most important political act anyone takes. And if you have gay people who you care about in the world, you know, doing things like refusing to vacation somewhere that you know has discriminatory laws. Or if you are in a workplace environment where you hear homophobia and you're a straight ally, being willing just to call it out and say that that makes you uncomfortable because you have friends and family who are gay. Those are the things that actually change the world. Those kinds of one-on-one conversations with the people who we're in contact with every day. I guess finally, the Fairness for All Families campaign, just to go back to that for a moment, we will need everyone engaged in that campaign. We will be walking through neighborhoods, knocking on doors, calling people to tell them about why this amendment is going to hurt families, tear away protections people count on, and eliminate the possibility of marriage and civil unions for gay families. We'll need people holding house parties in their neighborhoods, maybe setting up appointments for speakers to come in and address your community group, maybe becoming a speaker and being willing to be a part of the team that goes out and talks to different constituencies. And folks can learn more about Fairness for All Families campaign at either the Equality Florida website, eqfl.org, or the fairnessforallfamilies.org website, and can sign up to receive regular information and be a part of that campaign. We're going to make history in Florida with that campaign, and the feeling that you will have by being a part of that on Election Day is, you know, this is our moment in the sun. And when people think about
that really feels good to hear that. You know, in Florida, we've been kicked around for so long. Everybody thinks this is, you know, land of fun and Disney World and Mickey Mouse. But you're right. Outside of Disney World, this place is South Georgia.
Well, you know, and folks who have, you know, been following these amendments across the country know that in 27 out of the 28 states that faced the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, 27 out of 28 times we've lost. And so folks might think, well, you know, how's Florida going to win if we didn't win in Oregon or we didn't win in Wisconsin or some of these other states? But the reality is this is not high in the sky thinking we can win in Florida. And we can win for two reasons. We can win in Florida because nationally public opinion is trending in our direction. People are waking up about what these amendments are really about. And every single day public opinion moves closer to supporting equality and to opposing these marriage amendments. In 2006, the amendments that did pass passed by much tighter margins than anywhere else. And of course, we had our first win in 2006 when Arizona defeated one of these amendments. And the demographics in Arizona are quite similar to Florida in many ways. We have similarly sized retirement communities who are impacted by these amendments. We have large student populations. So there are a lot of similarities, differences too, but many similarities. And then of course the most obvious reason for why we can win in Florida is that this state now requires a 60% majority to pass an amendment. And every other state, the far right has only needed 50%. The polling shows us in a dead heat. We might have a slim lead right now. But it's going to take us really working to get our message out to make sure we hold on to that lead and win. If the far right is able to simply crank out their misinformation campaign and we're not funded or activated in a way that we can really respond, they'll beat us. So that,
you know, that whole thing about the 60%, requiring 60%, that was entirely crafted to keep people like us from bringing amendments. You know, only large organizations can really have the money to raise that sort of that number of signatures. That's a big target.
There's no doubt that there is a concerted ongoing campaign in Florida to make it more difficult for people to have a voice through the constitutional amendment process. There's no doubt about that. In this particular instance, the conservatives have kind of shot themselves in the foot because they've made it much more difficult for this amendment to pass. But overall, the real reasoning behind all of those changes to make it harder for people to collect signatures and require greater majorities are about, preventing people, from having the ability to make those changes to the Constitution. That's for sure. But the final thing I would say about this victory in Florida is, I know progressives listen to this station and this show, and so they understand that this marriage issue, when the far right burns this issue out, they'll look for something else. They are always looking for a wedge issue, some way that they feel they can drive people to the polls or stir up their base and use fear and anger to stir up their base. But it is a wedge issue that truly is on its last leg nationwide. It is fading. It has backfired in many other close races across the country. It's seen as having helped elect Democrats and progressives in states like Virginia instead of that actually people are so fed up with these amendments that the opposite of what they believe will happen. They think they'll turn out the right wing, and instead we turn out progressives who hate seeing this kind of politics of personal destruction. And if we win in Florida, we will kill this strategy for the nation. You can be sure that if Florida in a presidential election year defeats a constitutional amendment like this, the far right will have to abandon this strategy. It will have become politically costly for them. And that's our job.
Wonderful. Well, this is great news. And Stratton, I just want to thank you for spending so much time with us. It's 10:14 now. I know you have a 10:15, and I understand you actually had business up until 9:20, so you've been a saint to fit us in. I want to again tell you that anyone from your organization is welcome to phone at any time. Just identify yourself as being from Equality Florida, and you're in.
Peter, thanks so much. I really enjoyed it, and, keep up all the good work. We'll talk again.
Wonderful, and my regards to Nadine.
All right, I'll pass it along. Thanks so much. Good night.
All right, sir. All right, sir. Good night. Bob, do you want to take a break now, or should we? Can we just go to Jim from California? We have Jim from California phoning in. Let's just go to Jim. We'll worry about a break later. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Peter. So I just wanted to congratulate you on how happy I am for you. I tried to get in the first night, but I made a mistake of waiting until almost 8 o'clock my time, which is almost 11 o'clock your time, and it was only a two-hour show, so I didn't have time to get in, but I was disappointed I didn't get in the first night, but I wanted to tell you how happy I am and what a great show it is.
Well, that's so kind of you to call. You know, there was a note, it was at where the show was getting close to a close, and there was a caller from California, Jim, and now I know it was you, and I'm so sorry we didn't get to take your call. The first evening that we were on air, I kind of used up a lot of time at the beginning of the show, blah, 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 blah. So we didn't get to nearly as many callers as I would have liked to. This is going to be fun. This is, although we conflict in time with Mike Malloy, we're hoping to get some of his audience, some of our faithful Horn listeners, but also we're attracting a different audience. There's a lot of gay folks out there that don't necessarily listen to Malloy, and just thrilled to do this. This is actually the second show because we missed last night, and I just couldn't be happier. I honestly appreciate your well wishes. It's very good of you.
Well, I'm certainly passing the word. I figured you were looking for that select audience, and not that the rest of us aren't welcome, but I'm sure that you know, someone that has experience, you know, in the lifestyle, probably going to have a much more quality type stuff to bring to the program. And I've been passing the word as I've been able to out here, and I hopefully there'll be some benefit of that. And it probably will be a lot of word of mouth. I don't think Horn unfortunately has the financial wherewithal yet to really be putting big ad campaigns into it. So it probably word of mouth goes a long way.
Well, we are promoting it, and let me just say, Jim, that. You do not have to be gay, lesbian, transgendered, or purple, or a black woman trapped in a Mormon's body, or anything bizarre to call this show. We're always glad to talk, because I honestly envision this program as a dialogue between the straight, the gay, bisexuals, lesbians, transgendered, so many letters, so little time, community. I think it's, you know, what's in Hollywood and on television shows, that's not us. We're just like you. We're, you know, we get up, we try to find the cereal, we go to work, we try to pay the bills. That's the homosexual agenda. I think it's time we started the dialogue, which is what the Head On Radio Network is all about. So I would love to hear from you anytime.
Well, you will from time to time, and I'm certainly once again very happy for you. And one thought I almost had was that I'm almost embarrassed to live in a country where you even have to have special shows for things like this. I mean, this should be so integrated into life in general that we shouldn't even think of it. I mean, do we need a show for people with green eyes or blue eyes? Or, I mean, it should be that matter of fact in my mind, but obviously everyone doesn't see it that way.
I completely agree. This sexual orientation is honestly about as important as being left-handed or having brown hair. It's truly irrelevant. What we're doing is as long as though they're denying us our civil rights because of it, and as long as they're killing us over it, we're gonna talk about it. And it's just plain silly to people like us. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. But damn it, they've got to back off and leave us alone because we're just not going to take it anymore.
Well, I certainly agree, and I couldn't support you more. And best hopes are for the program, and you know I think the world of you, and I just wish you the best as the weeks go along.
Thank you so much for calling, and I'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right, so thank you. I have a little story here from the Savage Wiener. And this is Michael Savage, in case you don't know who I'm talking about. Some of the new listeners may not. But Michael Savage is, of course, the media darling. He's an idiot. We call him the Savage Wiener around here. And Michael Savage is extremely upset about the homeless... I can't even say it. It's so silly. The homosexualization, now that's a big word that means nothing, homosexualization of the West. And notice this word, seminal issues of our time. Now, in reading this, he uses the word seminal over and over and over. Now, of course, it has two meanings, and all of us are educated. We know what the two meanings, but there are other words other than similar. You know, it's obvious that that word is intended as a stirring up factor. But he's saying that the sexual mafia, whom I've never met or encountered, is responsible for controlling virtually everything you read. Oh, I wish. Everything you see. Oh, gee, well, I guess the homosexual mafia is in charge of the sunset these days. And everything you hear. Well, now, I wish that were true. It would be all disco all the time on every radio station. And everything you wear. Now, that's true. I mean, you know, it's everything you wear. We've had a hand in it somewhere. And he is, the man is a major closet case. Give me a break. It's, you know, the more noise you make about this, the less you secure you are in your sexuality. What I have found over the years is that people who are like really, really, really straight, they don't give a damn what gay people do. They're perfectly secure in their own sexuality. It's just irrelevant. But as it begins to head toward the number 6 in the Kinsey scale, they become more and more worried about it because they're in the process of hiding their sexuality. I swear to God, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to one day find Michael Savage with his feet thrown up in the air because the man is a total closet case. He's quoting the Pope, and he's saying that marriage and same-sex unions are, man is trying to emancipate, now this is the Pope, emancipate himself from his body and ends up destroying himself, which, like most everything the Pope says, is completely meaningless, unless you've got a really warped mind, like the driving thing. And the Pope goes on to say that homosexuals end up destroying themselves, and that Christians and the Church has a duty to speak out on moral issues as they affect the spiritual and physical lives of man. Well, I hold up to you that we're not destroying ourselves, you're trying us. And you've been trying for 1,000 years? Honey, has it worked? Give it up. I've got to tell you, no, nobody's going anywhere. Nobody. And you will not destroy us. Leave us alone. That's all we want. Just leave us alone. Let us get married. Let us, you know, it's like the man it was Rosie O'Donnell. By the way, Rosie O'Donnell's brother was involved in the New York legislation today. You know, stage one of legalizing gay marriage. And he made a wonderful comment. I wish I had it in front of me. He said, "We don't want to see a pew in your church. We don't want a seat in your synagogue. We just want to be left alone." I thought, praise God, honey. That's exactly what we want. Oh, God. That's, you know, they used to tie left-handed people their hands behind their back. You know, what's wrong with the world? It's just hard to figure it out. Now, Savage also says that we have descended to the level of apes and that we're lower than chimpanzees. And he requotes the Pope again, and he uses the word seminal 5 or 6 more times. And it's just Michael Savage. What can I tell you? He's an idiot. He's Ann Coulter with a penis. So maybe Ann Coulter has one too. It's hard to say. The next article that I wanted to talk to you about is God and His gays. You know, I'm a gay holy ruler. I'm really an anathema. according to them, I don't exist, but you know, I do. What can I tell you? Science, you know, is creeping up on the fundamentalists, and they're really freaking out over it. We've got this guy, Albert Mahler, and he's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. And I've got to tell you, that's about as thick as it. He is, at this point, concerned that science is increasingly pointing to the possibility that there's a biological basis for sexual orientation. And, of course, well, duh. And, but rather than draw the correct conclusion from that, he's simply pointing out that wouldn't justify aborting a gay fetus or genetically engineering it back into a straight person. So basically what he's doing here is he's saying that, it may be biological, it may be caused by hormones in the uterus, but you still can't kill them because They's God's babies. And when they's born, you can kick them to the curb and beat the hell out of them in the park lot, stab them, burn their car. You can tie them to a fence. You can do any damn thing you want to do. Glory, hallelujah. But you can't kill them babies till they're born. They may be born in a pink dress, but honey, you can't touch them. Oh, dear God, I've grown up with this all my life. So, they are, you know, even though they believe that there were dinosaurs in the Ark, they are still now trying to... Lord, I can't wrap my head around these people. Oh, yes, and Senator Hillary Clinton. You know, when she was asked, nobody wants the issue, you know, she was asked during, what was it, one of the presidential debates recently, if she thought homosexuality was immoral, and she answered, of course, well, that's for others to conclude. Now, in the South, we would say that what she was actually saying was, I don't know nothing about no gay people. Her Scarlett O'Hara bit. Yeah, I don't know nothing about no gay people. That's for other people to conclude. Give me a break. The woman just scares the hell out of me. Like I was saying the other night, drop her on the Iraqi troops. She's a gay bomb there. And we got Barack Obama, and he avoided a direct answer. And even John McCain avoided the issue. It's hard to put up with this sort of thing. You know, everybody knows we're here, but nobody wants to talk about us because everybody's scared of them Christians. Jesus Christ. It's, you know, what's my line? Jesus wept. Ah, yes, and in Havana. Did you know that Cuba could become the first Caribbean island to recognize civil inheritance rights for gay and lesbian couples? It's been proposed there in Cuba. It looks like it's going to happen down there. Amazing, really. We're having to fight it state by state and city by city and county by county. It's just hard to believe. But yeah, Cuba, you know. Maybe I know, Bob, this is probably the time for that Barry Manilow track we talked about the other day. What was it? Copacabana. Yeah, that's the appropriate track for Cuba adopting. It said that homosexual couples will be given the same civil rights and inheritance rights as heterosexual couples. It didn't mention gay marriage, but they're probably not ready to talk about that yet. But nonetheless, it's a huge step. And it's in Cuba, which we have a trade embargo against for no particularly good reason other than the fact that, you know, Bay of Pigs or whatever that whole thing was. And then we have the ex-gays. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I was talking to Mark Levine last night, the night before last, and he said he could find us some ex-gays. I cannot wait to talk to them. You know, there's a whole... a bunch of conferences going on right now in California. I don't have the article in front of me. It's in the stack somewhere. But the XX gays are all coming out and saying the whole thing's a farce. It's a sham. You know. But anyway, the Exos International is the largest of the ex-gay ministries. And he said they're no longer good about successful ex-gays because there's really, he's never met one. And you realize they're using this for marketing. What they do is they take people in there and they, you know, guilt trip them and ship them out the door and they take their stories. Then they use these stories as a marketing tool to make money off the, you know, off after screwing somebody up. You know, psychiatrists have to unravel these people. It's just a fundraiser, you know. It's the equivalent of oh, Lord, this is a terrible analogy. I'll probably get kicked off the air. It's the equivalent of cockfighting. You know what I'm saying? It's you just beat people up, and then you earn money off of it. It's a sad thing. Oh yeah, and another savage remark regarding the gay marriage thing. He was saying that the gay mafia bought votes as if we had any money. You know, if we're Republicans, we might. The gay mafia bought the votes like cheap tricks in a bathhouse. Oh, he did add the word gay. We're like, cheap tricks in a gay bathhouse. Honey, I got news for you. Tricks in a bathhouse are free. You just got to pay to get in the door. Bob, how about let's run, say, a break, and then after we might do our second dance floor of the night, our second, what are we calling it? We're calling it last dance of the night. And we'll do some more stories and take your phone calls. And so we'll do a little break. It looks like it's about 10:30, so I guess we're ready to go. Thank you, Bob.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. It's impeachment time. Nothing less will do. This is not about scoring some petty partisan points or getting back at Republicans for Bill Clinton's impeachment. This is about standing up for democracy. This is about insisting on our constitutional system of checks and balances. The only remedy that the Constitution provides for a renegade president is Article 2, Section 4, which talks about impeachment for bribery, treason, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. And by other high crimes and misdemeanors, the founders meant crimes against the Constitution, a president who subverts the very system they were trying to set up. This president and this vice president have done precisely that over and over again. By lying us into war, by waging a war of aggression, by torturing and disappearing hundreds of people, by trampling on the due process rights of other detainees, by illegally spying on the American people, by issuing more than 1,000 signing statements, and by using the offices of the U.S. attorneys to undermine the integrity of our very electoral system. These are crimes that corrode the foundation of our democracy, and unless we prosecute them, that foundation may crumble. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end of...
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Friday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
From now on.
dreads unknown. I shall be difficult to find, so follow me, just follow me. I study dreams and new desires. I'm trading hopes on open lay.
Thank you. Thank you, Agnes. That gay bar across the street left the door open again. And Agnes, kindly with the microphone at the front door, faded it up for us. That track was actually sent in by the world's most fabulous DJ, Glenn Rivera, in California. Thank you, Glenn. And that one actually is dedicated to Daryl in Chicago. What a sweetheart he is. He has been posting and blogging about this show since the very beginning, and that's one of his favorite tracks. So I love both you guys. The telephone number, we're available at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, or if you have a toll-free calling plan, I have misplaced that piece of paper, so if you would post that in the chat room, I can read it off to you. Like I said, so many pieces of paper, so little time. And, I wanted to tell you more about what went on in the New York State Assembly. They approved the gay marriage bill, and I explained to you, Rosie O'Donnell's brother was deeply involved with that, and earlier I mentioned the fact that he said he didn't want a seat in the synagogues, and he doesn't want a pew in the church, he just wants a license that you've had three or four times. We can't even have one. Hell, you could have one of those marriage licenses 10 times, just be a little bit fair, share the wealth. And if you have a toll-free calling plan, you can use 1-304-658-5453. Thank you, ELO, in the chat room. Interestingly enough, the Republicans were, as usual, well, not all of them. Some of the Republicans helped in New York. But a lot of them were completely outraged about the gay marriage amendment. And one of the fellows, he was Assemblyman Brian Kolb, said, I do feel threatened. I do feel harmed. It's a direct challenge to me and how I was brought up. And there were others that were going on about polygamy and this sort of thing. I wanted to give you a clue about where this kind of thing comes from. And there's a wonderful, in fact, I'm trying to get this guy on as an interview. His name is Stephen Falkenberg. He's an educator, a psychology, I believe. And he has written some interesting articles about how this whole fundamentalist thing worked. And this comes from the thing about not, you know, it goes against everything I was brought up to believe. That comes from nostalgia. And what they believe is that God's plan for the world is for things to be like they were when they were little boys and when they were little girls. It's based on kind of a romantic, you know, unrealistic memory of childhood, you know, like, what was it, Leave It to Beaver? Those times never existed. You know, women were battered, but they kept their mouths shut back in those days. And in other words, their memories are not true. You know, and as children, they were protected by their parents from contact with harsh realities, and you know, their parents would wait and whisper things when the children weren't there, when they were discussing, like, infidelity or corruption or addiction, et cetera, et cetera. So they were really quite unaware of social problems. Children didn't pick up on it at all. And, of course, Mom spent all day cleaning and waxing and preparing treats, and Dad pulled up in front of the suburban house in a station wagon, and the children went to greet him. So, you see, what they want is, they believe that God's plan is for the world to be like that again. For them, those were safe times. Those were comfortable times. And another aspect of it is familiarity, and that they believe that God's plan is for things to be what we're comfortable with. And this is a form of cultural bias, and it's based on the idea that God's plan is always to be like it used to be. Whatever is comfortable to you, if it stresses you or if it's changing in any way, it can't be God's plan. It has to be like it used to be. You know, they see the church as a place to get away from the stress and strains of life. You know, no changes, please. Let me come in here and we'll do it. We'll follow the program and you know, we're gonna, you know, have to get all stressed out. Excuse me. And, you know, they're captivated by the lure of familiar hymns that they've been singing since they were children, and the organ music, and you know, just no discomfort, no stress. That's part of this cultural, being a cultural provincial that ties into these people who make statements like he made. And his statement again was, I do feel threatened. I do feel harm. It's a challenge to me and how I was brought up. Well, you poor freaking jerk. Let me tell you how it up. Try growing up in my high heels, sweetheart. Yeah, take a walk in my heels. How he was brought up. Kiss my gay rear end. Anyway, moving right along. Oh, yeah, and then the leader, the Republican leader guy, he's... Oh, did I miss something in a queue here? Maybe not. Oh, yeah, one of the leading Republicans, he's trying to make everybody feel calm. See, he's playing into that. He's saying, just simmer down, because it, and he used the word ain't, just simmer down, it ain't going to happen in this chamber. And it says, we're not going to be doing gay marriage by Thursday, that's for sure. We're not going to do it this year. Too many other issues. You know, we're not going to do it. Now, I believe I missed a cue in production chat. I believe I have Bruce on hold. Bruce, are you with us, or am I, you know, I'm new to this. I've got two computer screens going and pieces of paper flying all over the place, doggy staring at me. Bruce, are you there?
Hi, honey.
Oh, sweetheart, I am so glad. I'm so delighted to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh, Peter, man, you sound amazing, man. Totally amazing, brother. Man, it is so, it's great. We got the whole role reversal thing going on now, though, don't we?
Yes. Yes, it's insidious, isn't it? It's you know, it's like thing. We've been seesawing.
This radio thing is infectious. It's almost like... almost like a bad case of the whooping cough, isn't it? Once you get it, you just can't get rid of it.
Well, it's true.
Peter,
and
your show is amazing. And I just wanted to say, my friends, that, you know, it is, you're absolutely right on target. I find that what I've seen is that, you know, of course, I live in the South, as do you, and what I see around me is that there are a lot of folks, you know, they said the same thing back in the 50s about interracial marriage. They said the same thing back, when there was a black man and white female in Kentucky, I believe it was, in Louisville, that got married, and, and there was a huge uprising, and guess who came to the rescue? It wasn't Democrats, and it wasn't Republicans. You know who it was?
I don't know.
The communists.
Oh, my stars. In the form of the communists, or how did that work? This is an interesting story. I don't know.
In the form of the American Communist Party. And what happened was, and this is sort of, and, you know, I shouldn't really be saying this on the air, but I'm going to say it anyway. What has happened a lot down through history is that those on the far left kind of drug the center, or drag, drug, don't want to use that word, dragged the center farther to the left, while the people on the right were kicking and screaming and saying, you know, using all kinds of tools and weapons at their disposal, including Christianity, to say that, oh my God, this can't happen. It says in the Bible, you got, man shall not lie with man. Well, you know, I don't know about you, Peter, but every time I get around a bunch of men, they lie like hell.
Oh, Jesus. That's a good one. Yes, they do lie like hell.
You know.
And a lot of times the lies, they've never been with a man half the time.
Indeed. So, you know, this whole thing about the gay marriage issue, and I gotta tell you, I really believe very strongly that you should be able to be with the person that you love, and the state should recognize that regardless of age, race, sex, sexual identity, whatever, you know. And the problem is that we still have people who are living in the, in the dark ages, and they use an ancient book that has nothing to do with our country's laws to justify their madness, and you, my friend, pay the price. You know, and I got to tell you,
yes,
it is absolutely. It's just disgusting. But your show is fantastic, Peter. You are a hit, my friend.
Well, I'm having a ball doing it. But the question, Bruce, is, can he do this five nights a week? You know, I see what you guys do now. I'd never again will I think, well, they just come on and talk. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, isn't there, buddy?
Oh, there's an incredible amount that goes on behind the scenes. And I think that, but you know what? The reality is, Peter, is that it's a labor of love. It always has been and always will be. And you know, when guys like you get on the air and I hear your show, I'm like, It's very gratifying to know that that this network is carrying on in a very fine tradition of putting people on the air who, you know, don't have the PhDs behind their name, who don't subscribe, you know, don't get on there and just do shock radio, but actually talk like a real person. You know?
I've been accused of that. You know, it's just because I'm old and hateful, I just don't give a damn anymore, Bruce. Basically what it comes down to. Just don't give a damn anymore.
You do give a damn, though. That's why you're doing this. And I think that's the biggest part of why any of us, you know, get up every morning and go and do what we have to do every day and then devote our time to try to change the world a little bit at a time is because we do give a damn. It's those people in D.C. It's the politician, I've been struggling, as you well know, with a lot of my own issues, but I've also been struggling with watching the news and reading the news. the main reason being, Peter, is because everyone is angling to try to be everything to everyone. And you just can't do that, can you? You gotta be
who
you are.
No.
You gotta be who you are. And when you realize, because when they try to be everything to everyone, what happens in the process is they lose who they are. And when they lose who they are, they no longer know why it is they do what they do.
Absolutely.
You know,
true.
And if you've lost that original focus, then you completely lost the point to begin with. You know, so when I hear a guy like you on the air, and you have a fantastic show, and I hadn't had the opportunity to listen the first two nights, but I'm going to get an MP3 player and play it all back.
That's wonderful. We want you back too. We miss your show on this network was huge. Everybody loved it because you're such a smoothie. You sound so good on the radio, and you're really a good person. In fact, I had that thought when I first started the show that I don't sound like Bruce. What am I going to do?
You know what, man? No, you don't. You sound like Peter, and you have a fantastic way of delivery. I'm highly impressed. Highly impressed. But not only that,
thank you so much.
I really, you know, at some point down the road, we'll talk. We're talking about some of that stuff. But you know, at some point down the road, the biggest thing that I want to say to you, my friend, is congratulations and good luck and Godspeed, and you know, and keep carrying that message forth, because people like you that change the world, you know, and that means the world to me.
Thank you. It takes a village to raise a Peter, doesn't it?
Thank to raise you. A Peter. Well, you know, that's playing things a little loosely there, but
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's
me
on the radio. Now, I wonder if Jim's going to call in about
that.
Bruce, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it, I just wish you the best.
Well, thank you, and. You know, and you too. Keep it going, man. And you know, 5 days a week isn't really all that bad. By the fifth day, you're like, damn, can I go one more? Can I go one more hour? Can I go, please, one more hour? And of course, Bob will say, no.
And you're right. Yeah, he is a cruel master, isn't he?
He'll say, I've got to sleep sometime, damn it.
Right. He'll say, oh hell no. Yeah, just hear it. All right. Well, Bruce, I really appreciate your calling, and I love you so much. And I'll tell you what, I have one more caller, and it's late. It's getting almost closing time, so I should take that call. And Bruce, please call again.
I certainly will, Peter. Have a great night.
Thank you, sir. Good night to you. And we have a caller from Arizona, and her name is Kate. And I'm so pleased to have you call. And good evening. You're Strictly Confidential.
Hey. I'm just so happy you're on the air. I just thought I'd call in and let you know that, let everybody know that Dykes are part of the family too, huh? We've had all boys.
Amen.
We've had all boys calling in. What's up with this?
I know. I want to tell you, the one of the times I had in my life, I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time, and they some friends of mine took me to, I think it was Portland State. Anyway, there was a group playing, and it was the Dyke Tones.
Oh.
And honey, they were fabulous. they were just fabulous. They were all like, they had like 50s outfits, you know, and they were all like with the cigarettes and the, you know, and just rolled over.
Sure.
And they played 50s songs. It was marvelous.
What year was that? Recently, huh? The last 20 years.
That was I moved there. It was in the early 70s.
Oh damn,
I'm very good.
Yeah. I was in Tacoma at that time. I usually don't call in on radio. I just sit and listen. And I do Mike Malloy on one radio, on Sirius, and you on the computer. And as Bob said, well, that'll get your right and left brain going. Yes, it does. But I just wanted to call in and just let you know that we're out here, you know, families on board. And I don't know who that mafia is, but they sound interesting, though, don't they?
I know. I would love to meet them. And I'd also like them to fund this network. You know,
they just don't.
Really.
I just don't call in because everybody has so much more stuff to say, but you just leave so many openings, and I'm just sitting here laughing, thinking, oh, honey, don't even go. Oh! I should open up the email and then do one-liners back to all of your pitches and.
Well, it's just I tell them I didn't grow up in a gay bar and not learn anything. So,
I'm telling you. and that's my favorite line too out of the Bible: "Thou shalt not lie with a man," and so I don't. And so, what's up with that? You know, I mean, what's
exactly? That's beautiful. I had that. Lies of the Bible. No, that's fabulous. Oh, please let me have it.
Please quote the Bible to me. Well, anyway, I'm sitting here on the 115 degree desert, and I'm listening to you every night. You come on, and it's still daylight. This is such a nighttime show, and it's still like broad damn daylight here. And I, so anyway, I just wanted to wish you a happy solstice and good luck on the air. And you do good, and you're wearing pajama pants every night and a ragged T-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. I am wearing the T-shirt. I'm wearing the pajama pants. In fact, my neighbor, we grew up on the same dirt road. We used to ride the school bus together.
Mm-hmm.
What have you.
She
lives down the road. Mm-hmm. And she said to me today, she said, love the show. You should wear some red pumps while you're doing it to go. I told her, no. I'm holding out for plaid pumps. I need to match my pajama bottoms.
Oh my God! I love it.
Oh God!
Well, all my boyfriends.
You gotta laugh.
All my boyfriends are queer, and I'm just adding you to the list. And so I'm just so happy that you're on the air. And I'm sorry that we have to have this kind of, confidential. I mean, oh my God! Come on, we're everywhere. There's nothing confidential about it. Whatever.
It's a scandalous name, isn't it?
It is. It's fabulous, darling.
Right.
Anyway, I haven't worked out today, so I got to go put on my disco CD and run a half a mile. And so I'm just so glad you're on the air. And I'll call in again, or I'll email or whatever. But just know that
please
I'm here.
Please do. So wonderful to know you're out there. It's just so wonderful to know.
Yeah, I'm definitely here, way out in the desert. My post office isn't even hardly in my zip code, so I'm just like way the hell out here, and it's just
how
a breath
cool.
of fresh air having somebody talk in my language, flipping off one-liners that boy I could get you when you come back on that one. Anyway,
I'd love it. Yeah. Uh-huh. I completely get it about living out. I live in a rural area, too. I think, you get to a certain point, you just can't take it anymore. You might as well just go,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, you just mm-hmm. only so much a man or woman can take it any given lifetime. And God knows I've had it.
Yeah, I have. I just don't have any tolerance for it. I'm too old for this kind of crap that's going on in the world anyway. So I just sit and smile at most of it and rage at the rest of it. So it's, but the ice.